Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim here at Grace of God. Thanks as always for taking some time out of your day to listen to our sermon cast. So if you've listened before, you know this feed usually features my Sunday messages. But over the next few weeks, you can look forward to new installments of this mini-series Wednesdays and Fridays on the book The Screwtape Letters by the Christian writer C.S. Lewis. Hey friends, welcome back for our Screwtape Letters series. This week, or today, this Friday, we're looking at letter number 10 in the book. And again, just to cover a few things, so you've got the premise of this book is that there's a demon named Screwtape. That's where the book gets its name. And his job here on Earth is to tempt this particular man. The way that the book depicts the world of the demons, and this isn't scriptural, to be clear. This is kind of a fable, in a sense. C.S. Lewis is sort of picturing how the scriptures do tell us to sort of understand demons, the devil, his forces, work in our lives as they try to tempt and trick us and drive us away from God. But he then frames it all in, it's an amusing book. He frames it as if hell were some sort of British bureaucracy with junior demons and minor demons, and they're writing letters back and forth. The junior demon is Screwtape, again, the one whom the book is named after, and his uncle, a demon named Wormwood, a senior demon who's no longer tempting on Earth. He has a supervisory position down in Hell. He's writing his nephew, Screwtape, letters suggesting how can you best tempt a human. Now, Screwtape is assigned to this one man, a bachelor, who lives in London during World War II. And Screwtape is simply supposed to keep him away from God, keep him sinning toward his family, drive him away from God and away from neighbor, drive him toward toward sin, hate, wickedness, all these kinds of things, not love. And something we've seen throughout this series, too, is that sin is not for the demons. It doesn't have to be huge and big, splashy things. They don't have to make us into murderers and wicked, open, gross sinners to do their work. They're perfectly content when they drive a wedge between this man, for instance, and his mother, whom he lives with. The demons are happy and content to do that. The demons are happy and content with us simply being selfish when we're with our coworkers, when we're in our workplace. They don't care necessarily about great and grand suffering. They simply want to drive people apart and drive us away from God. Now, whether they can do that in grand and glorious ways, that's great. They don't need to, though. In letter number 10, Screwtape has sent a note back to his uncle, Wormwood, down in Hell, noting that the man has made some new friends. And Wormwood, when he hears how Screwtape describes the man's new friends, he's excited and he says, "This is a great opportunity." So the man has made these friends who, in the letter, were described. We have them described to us as these cultured friends. They're very sophisticated people. They're very intelligent people. But they're scoffers. They're skeptics of everything. They don't take anything seriously. Every time someone says something in earnest, they kind of turn it into an opportunity to chuckle and mock. Anybody who comes at anything with seriousness, earnestness, care, is just mocked by these people. And you probably have met someone like this, someone who's very intelligent, someone who's sharp and with it and understanding, someone who is quite smart, and yet they just are flippant. They don't take things seriously. They're constantly dismissive of others' thoughts because they think they're the smartest person in the room. That's the kind of friends that this man has recently made. The particularly dangerous thing about friends like this is that when you see that they are dismissive and flippant toward everyone, you don't want them to do that to you. And so when we make friends like this, when we encounter people like this, one of the natural things that humans want to do is to act like them, because otherwise, if you show that you care about things, that you're earnest, that there are things that are important to you, you'll be dismissed and laughed at by these people. And so the demons find it particularly helpful because, well, for one, religion is a serious thing. Religion is a serious and meaningful and earnest thing. And if you want to get along with flippant, cultured friends, you can't talk about religion. So, first off, the demons recognize this is already just an opportunity to drive a wedge between the man that Screwtape is tempting, and his newfound faith, recently he had started going to church, he's become a Christian. His friends reject all of that stuff. Wormwood says, at some point, you're going to find that this man realizes he's kind of got a choice, or a path that he's going to need to go down. He will ultimately come to see the discrepancy between his friends, who he hangs out with, and his professed faith. Well, there are two options to deal with this. One would be for Screwtape to simply keep trying to push him to be more like these friends, and that would entail ultimately just sort of walking away from Christianity, walking away from church, because it's too earnest, because it's too serious. Fairly easy to work in a human, is something that Wormwood notes. The other option, and he says, if you can manage to pull this off, Screwtape, then you've really got something good here. Because if the man pushes away from religion, pushes away and goes to mirror these friends, it may be that at some point he'll have a falling out with these friends, he'll see how foolish it all was, and he'll redouble his commitment to Christianity and to religion. The more effective option, Wormwood suggests to his nephew Screwtape, is that you try and get your man sort of leading this double life, where he's in church on Sunday morning, but all the way through he's thinking about all the cultured and sophisticated conversation and entertainment that he was with, that he was having with his friends on Saturday evening. That you can get him to sort of think, oh wow, isn't this so great? I can straddle both these worlds. I can talk to these worldly and cultured and sophisticated and flippant people, and yet I can also be among the pious and humble here. And to not really see that there's an issue there. Now, the issue is not that he shouldn't be with those cultured and sophisticated friends necessarily. Well, we look at times in the Gospels, for instance, where Jesus spent time with those who were outside the church, the tax collectors and the sinners. And yet he did so ultimately always trying to call them into life with him, into life with the church. If this is where we often find ourselves when we're in a situation like this, this kind of double life thing. We don't allow our faith to bleed over into our relationship with people outside the church. My church people, I'll talk about religion with. People outside, co-workers, neighbors, friends, especially if you've got friends like this who are flippant and unkind toward religious claims. I don't want to talk about that stuff with them because it's hard and it's not fun and easy like hanging out with them is. Over time, that creates a division. A mental division, which creates a spiritual division. I stop to think about Christianity being something that has this truth claim to it. And instead, I just kind of treat these as totally separate things, and Christianity then, in my head, has to be relegated to kind of the idea of an opinion, a nice thing, a tradition that I'm involved in, and not the revelation of God. Died for us, rose for us, guarantees that we will be with him in eternity. That's what Christianity is. We want to take it seriously in that way. Letter 10 calls to mind, and I know I'm going long a little bit in this episode, but letter 10 calls to mind the very first psalm, which offers us some thoughts about these things. The very first psalm says, "Blessed is the person who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked, stand in the counsel of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." That is to say, we want to consider how it is and with whom it is that we spend our time. Do we spend our time with people who ultimately drive a wedge between our faith and life? We want to be careful about that. The first psalm says, "Blessed is the man who doesn't do that, who doesn't sit with mockers, sort of join in all that, but who instead delights in God's word and meditates on it day and night, who lets God's word plant itself in his, her life and bear fruit of love and faith and joy and peace." That's letter 10 of the Screwtape letters. Again, thanks for joining us. This next episode, letter 11, will come out on the following Wednesday. Thanks, friends, and I'll see you soon.